Yes, hello. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to church. As I was walking down here before to pray, James had a quick conversation for me and he said, there's a song that's been going through my head. We're together again just praising the Lord. We're together again in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again just praising the Lord. Do I have an amen? Yes, it's so good to see you. It's so good to be here together again. I've got to remind you of some stuff, some COVID stuff. So, if you are very close to the person next to you and you haven't come in the same vehicle, you probably shouldn't be. Social distancing still applies. So, can I encourage you to be that 1.5 meters apart? Now, I did see on social media this week a picture of two people with a kangaroo in between. Now, we have kangaroos to come. So if people aren't doing the social distancing thing, we can organize a kangaroo to sit between you to make sure that you are 1.5 meters apart. But please do that. Please also, as much as possible, refrain from, at this stage, which the government has asked us to ask you, from hugging, kissing, shaking hands, all those sort of things. We really do need to maintain the social distances so that churches can meet together and not be a point of infection for the community. If it does happen and it happens in a church, I tell you, we will never hear the end of it. So please do everything you can to make sure that you are safe. Wash your hands. We've got a register of your names as you came in. All those sort of things that you've heard over and over and over again. Let's not be complacent. There's plenty of spaces down here. I know it's in the sun, I'm very sorry, but what a glorious day. How good is God to give us such a day as this? Now, I did not know what today would be like. We had prepared to be inside if we needed to, but God has blessed us with this lovely weather outside. So you should have got a newsletter as you came in. Inside here is also all your songs. All your songs. If you haven't got a newsletter, make sure you grab one. Put your hand up, someone will bring you one round. Everyone has a newsletter, that's good. The songs that we're going to sing today, there's also an insert. The insert will be for the message, which Karen will bring later on. So, and hopefully you've got a pen or a pencil to make some notes with that as well. The other thing I wanted to talk to you about is giving. An opportunity to gather is also an opportunity to give, which some of you haven't had for a long time. There will be a collection, but no one will be walking around. There won't be any passing of the plates and that sort of thing. As you came in, there was an offering box. If you haven't made that opportunity as you came in and you brought an offering, take the opportunity as you leave to pop your giving into there today. The only other thing I need to tell you, oh, there's a couple of things. House of Prayer is on. We have had House of Prayer for the last couple of weeks. 10 to 12 people have met and prayed for you, met and prayed for this day, met and prayed for your prayer requests. If you'd like to join us, you are more than welcome to come and meet inside the church at 4 o'clock for House of Prayer. It is a great time of fellowship together. There is no kids zone this week. There is a kids time, but when kids time happens, can I encourage you kids to stay with your families? Don't come out the front, and all the information will come from Jess and from Brittany about what's going to happen with kids times in the future later on in the service. And the last thing before we start church today is next Sunday, if it is a glorious day like today, we are having a picnic in the park at Cremunda Park down at Karramundi at 12:30. You are most welcome after the service to come and meet. Ah, the other thing, morning teas. Who's missing morning teas? All right, we have now permission for morning teas. Now, we hadn't made preparation for today, but next Sunday, there'll be a time to be able to hang around for a little while and have morning tea. So you can look forward to that as well. Let me read to you from 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is your chance to participate. I am going to start 1 Chronicles chapter 16 at verse 23. And every time I pause, oh, it's not in there, but I'm going to give you your lines now. You are going to say, when I pause, he has done great things. Let's practice that together. He has done great things. Excellent. Okay, let me start. 1 Chronicles 16, 23. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Each day proclaim the good news that he saves. Publish his glorious deeds among the nations. tell everyone about the amazing things he does. Great is the Lord, he is most worthy of praise. Now we've read it, now you've said it, now we're going to stand and sing it. Great things.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. O hero of heaven, you've conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. Be faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. O hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, O God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, O God. You have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, O God. You have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high, O God. You have done great things. Have done great things. Oh God, you do great things.
Will you join me as we pray together? Our Heavenly Father, you are the Creator God. You are the God of eternity. You are the God who provided a Savior for us, who breaks every chain and makes us alive. Hallelujah. We worship you this day and thank you for the privilege of knowing you and coming into your presence. As we share together in this time of fellowship, we thank you because you are here to bless us. And we have come not just to enjoy the fellowship, but to enjoy fellowship with you, to hear your voice speaking to us, to allow us to speak to you. And we pray that you'll give us ears that are tuned to hear your voice and obey you this day, so that your great things will happen in our lives, will happen in this community, in this nation, in the days which lie ahead. Bless us, I pray, in the name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Please be seated.
All right. Hello, everybody. I might take my hat off for a brief time, just so I can see you all a bit better. Now, we're going to have a kids' time, but kids, right now we're going to ask you to stay where you are, and I'm going to invite Brittany and Jess to come down here and talk to us. So you can just pretend you can hear that kids' time music. You know that music? Can I ask, with a show of hands, who's been watching online and has seen these girls every week do their kids' time? How good are they, hey? Give them a big clap. At the beginning of this time when we thought, oh, what are we going to do? How are we going to make this work? I can tell you that they weren't necessarily very keen to be filmed and to be movie stars. We kept saying, Jess, you're a movie star. But over this time, I've just seen them both increase in their confidence and in their love for the kids and show that. It's just been fantastic. So we've been encouraged. So I wanted to ask you guys, put you on the spot. I did ask them actually earlier, to tell us what one of the challenging things was about this time when you can't meet the kids face to face. What was really challenging and what was a really great blessing? So I'm just going to ask them this. Start with you, Brittany. What was really challenging?
Probably learning how to use the computer program to video everything and edit it. Learning how to put music in and videos and images and stuff in as well. And the biggest blessing was a couple of weeks ago when we started Kids Zone back and all the kids came back and they were really excited to be back. And hearing them talk about when they were watching the videos at home. It was just really good to see them again.
And can I just say that as well as what you saw during our Facebook church service, during that meeting, they also did another video for, I don't know, 5 to 10 minutes that they produced every week for the kids to watch. And that link just went to the kids. And that was like their own Sunday school version. So heaps of effort. Jess, tell us what was a challenge and what was your biggest blessing?
So a challenge was probably connecting with the children and trying to keep the children connected without being too dependent on social media. So I found that, yeah, a real challenge as I don't like to, you know, get the kids on social media. I would prefer to be in person, and when that was not an option, it was quite difficult. And the biggest blessing is that it was temporary. That it was only temporary and that God will use it for good. And, yeah, that we can hold on to that.
Well, we are blessed. We're blessed to have a great bunch of kids. Kids, can you just stand up where you are and give a big wave to everybody in front of you, behind you, and give them a big wave. No, you have to stand up. Come on, kids, stand up. We want to see your lovely faces. And just say, we missed you guys. Can you, kids, put your hand up if you, over this time, lost a tooth? Because we were telling a few people. Kira lost her very first tooth, then the next tooth. How many now, Kira, have you lost? Two? And we had some more teeth. And a few of the kids had birthdays. So put your hand up if you had a birthday during COVID time. No, Jacinda, it was not your birthday, darling. We know it wasn't. Someone did have a birthday, though. Who had a birthday? Oh, who are the adults had a birthday? Happy birthday. I had a birthday too. It's a funny kind of, we'll call them COVID birthdays. Anybody at the back there on the deck had a birthday? Oh, very good. Anybody lose a tooth? Oh, dear. All right. Well, kids, let me tell you what's going to happen today. So because we need to try and keep movement to a minimum, we're going to ask you to stay where you are, or if you're already sitting on the tarp, that's okay. But during the sermon today, after we have our Bible reading, I'm going to invite all the kids to so come and sit on the side over there. We're talking about the sower and the seed and the parable of planting seeds. And today, while the sermon's on, you've got some activities over there, and some of them even include seeds and soil. So Jess and Brittany have prepared that and some other activities for you. So that'll be exciting. And I'd love you to sit there, and you're still part of us for today. Next week, Kids Zone. You'll go during church and actually go to Kids Zone while church is on. How good is that? That's exciting. Guys, bless you. Thank you for all that you've done. Can you give another hand to these girls, because they've done a great job. We're really blessed to have you both. Thank you. And we look forward to the time where we can return to our room inside and have the kids all run down the front and sit on the steps there on stage and greet them. I'm going to hand back to Derek. Thanks, everyone.
I think you're going to want to stand for this one. O Lord my God, when I, an awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Let's stand and sing all four verses. Let's raise the roof. Four verses straight through, and it's not just because I'm out of breath I decided to stop. It's actually because there are no walls here, there's no roof, there's nothing here, and so I'm actually really struggling to hear you. I can't hear you at all. So, Judah, can you turn me off, please, when we start to sing? And this one. And I want, we're going to sing "When Christ Shall Come" with shouts of acclamation, and "Take Me Home," what joy will fill my heart. Then I will bow in humble and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Let's sing this unbridled. Let's sing this in a way which, not like we mean it, but because we mean it. Let's sing it in a way which goes, yes, these are words that are true to my heart. So let's open our lungs and let's sing "When Christ Shall Come." Judy, you can turn me off now. Movie skip.
Right. I will be yelling while I'll be
sorry. Tim's leading the rest of the song.
He's lost you again. Derek's done a great job, and I think I really appreciate how he has brought us into, here we go, brought us into God's presence this morning. Really challenged us to mean what we sing and sing what we mean. We serve a great God. We serve a wonderful God. And we are in His presence today. We are gathered together. We are worshiping and praising God. And it is a great thing. I hope you think so. Let me try that again. It is a great thing. Hey, amen. Good to get some feedback. It feels very lonely out here without feedback. Thank you, Sonia. I heard that laugh. I appreciate that. Alrighty, so I've got some things to be thankful for. First Chronicles, which we read from this morning, says, Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever. And we are a people who need to be thankful. We are a thankful people, and we need to thank people, we need to honor people who are doing God's work. And so I want to spend just a couple of minutes saying some thank yous to some people who have kept us in the presence of the community while everybody else has been isolating, being separated. We've stayed open. And so I just want to say thanks to some of those people. Glenys and your Connect team, thank you for having Connect open every day. Next week, it'll be a little bit different. Connect will move back to their normal 2 days a week, but next week, is that right? Tuesday afternoon instead of Monday, which will flow into our community dinners. Speaking of our community dinners, we have done a takeaway community dinner for 16 weeks now. 16 weeks we've had people come and drive through. Last week we had to move into a different spot because of the concreting. Have you noticed that there's concreting? How good is that? Andrew, did you have a question? Oh, you noticed that there was concreting. Thank you. Good on you, Andrew. So over that time, 468 people have come. That's an average of 30 people each week. We've given out 725 meals. That's an average of 45 meals each week. Plus, there's been plenty frozen and given out through the week as well. I think that's been a real asset to our community, that they've been able to connect some people who are regulars, some people who are new, who need a meal, have been able to come on site. So a big clap, if you can, to all those people who have helped out over those Tuesday nights. And just on that, there's been people in the car park, there's been people who have taken on new roles as servers, there's been people in the kitchen. Sue, just off the top of your head, how many people do you think have been involved in the Tuesday night community dinner in total over the 16 weeks? 8? I think more than that. Just your cooking team. Oh, so that's just inside. Just the cooking team, 9, plus another 6 or 10 people outside. It's been quite a big team over that time, and they've done very well. And we just want to say thank you for those people. Now, there's been some other stuff that's happened. When you get the chance to go inside at some stage, you will notice that there used to be 2 pillars right in the middle of our church, which we have discovered through a series of unfortunate incidents, no, just randomly, that they don't do anything. There's 2 big pillars in the middle of a church that just sit there and don't hold anything up. There's probably a sermon there somewhere. But Ray has used his Samson skills, stood between the 2 pillars, which is a physical impossibility because they're about 5 meters apart, and pushed them over. So next time you go into church, you'll notice that it looks wider, and that's not just because there's no seats, that's because the pillars are gone. And we thank Ray for that. There's been some other stuff. The driveway, which I've already mentioned, a whole group of guys pulled up some pavers. Wave up your hands if you've got sore hands from the pavers. Where's our paver team? Good on you guys. And then the concreting happened. And this is the first, actually yesterday was the first day we got to drive on that new driveway. That'll help us gain access to our hall when we go back in, because there is now no longer a step. Nothing to fall in or out of. No excuses for not turning up to church. You can just slide out of your car, slide in a church, and enjoy the fellowship together. We also had a bit of work outside here. We've had some upgrading of our systems with power and data down here so that Gary and Judah can sit up there in the shade on the deck and relax. And Gary has spent, I must really acknowledge Gary, he has spent many, many hours doing wiring and getting all the AV together so that we can have the sound and the everything down here today. So thank you, Gary. Thank you to your team. Thank you to everyone who either dug a hole or put dirt back in a hole. Putting dirt back in a hole is just as important as digging the hole. Otherwise, we would all fall into them. Isn't that true? Oh, yes, but the work's not finished. Thank you, Sess. So I just want to call out Ray now. Come on, Ray. Because Ray and a whole group of guys have been doing a whole stack of stuff that maybe you haven't seen because you haven't been here. Every Saturday, they've been turning up for a long time. Through the week, they've been moving dirt from one place to another, trimming plants, doing a whole lot of stuff. And I just wanted to have a quick chat to Ray. Now, is this one working now? Hello? Still not working? Is it on? It's on here. Still no? Yes. Okay, I'm going to give you this one. So, Ray, hello, how are you?
Morning, Tim.
Tell me about what's been happening through the week, through the weeks between when we last actually met here in the chapel in the end of March and when we're meeting again today.
Yeah, well, there's a 4 of us actually, 4 guys getting together every Saturday morning. And we've been, as you can see, trimming the place and making it look a lot better, and that's given us a bit of friendship. And in this time, you know, you're isolated sometimes, and people are affected from that.
Go like this. There you go.
That's a secret. They are affected a little bit, and we just have a chat and get together and get to know one another a bit better. So that's been happening every Saturday morning. And I'll just throw out an invitation for anybody, male or female, that want to come on a Saturday morning and get their hands dirty. That's the easy side of it. And then we have the conversations. So, all invited.
But the conversations are easy too.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, yes. We well, the guys, there's four guys with us, but...
plus you, there's five. What about Cess? You forgot Cess.
I've got... Cess, he's... I left Cess out because he's here whether we're here or not. He's a quiet achiever, that man, and he does a great job around here. It's great. Really good.
And through the week?
Through the week.
Is it other people who work along around the grounds through the week?
Yes. I've been very fortunate to meet a guy that was wanting to change his life, and that's Richard. Richard has been coming on a Monday and Thursdays, and we've been, again, talking more than we've been working. So it's really, really good to see Richard every time he comes up, and he wants to get ahead with the work as well as his life, and it's encouraging. It's a blessing.
It definitely is a blessing. And what you said to me, Ray, is that it's a ministry. It's not just about a group of guys moving dirt from A to B.
Yes.
It's about the blessings that you give and receive.
Yes.
As you're in those situations.
Yes. When I go home from here, there's not been a time where I haven't thought on the way home, oh, what a blessing I've had today. It's just beautiful to be in this beautiful place. Yes.
And we are very thankful for that, Ray. We're thankful that you and your team of guys and other people who've done stuff, maybe sight unseen, who've made this area so beautiful. And I can't tell you the number of people that have come over the last 3 months and said, wow, your grounds are looking really good. You are so blessed to have such a beautiful place to come, for a safe place. And that's the thing that we hear over and over again. When people from the community come and they come in turmoil and they come in trauma and they come looking for help, they turn up and they go, wow, I feel safe here. And that is a lovely thing. And that is the Spirit of the Lord among us. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And so we want to thank you. I want to pray for you now and pray for your team. I want to pray for you on behalf of your team. Just to say thank you to the way that you've made this site accessible for everyone. Father God, I thank you that you are the Lord, the creator of the universe, the creator of all the good things that we see, all the beauty, the amazing sights and sounds. Even now we hear the birds. Through the week we see the kangaroos. We see the wildlife. We see you among us. And Lord, through the creation we see that you are a good God who loves us. And you've given us the desire to work with our hands in the soil to produce a beautiful thing. Because we are created, we are creative because you are the creator who created us to be like that. Lord, I thank you for the gifts that you've given Ray and for the willingness of his team to faithfully turn up, and not just about the work that they've done, which is fantastic, and we thank you and praise you for that, God, but the conversations that they've had, the God conversations, the moving along of these men maturing in Christ as they meet together and pray and work and share and love each other in the name of the Lord. So, Lord, I pray you'll bless Ray today and you'll bless his team and everyone else who over this period has put their hand to the plow, put their hand to kept their hand on the wheel so that we can stay open and that people can come and experience your love in this place. We praise you and thank you, dear Jesus. Amen.
Tim, can I just say one more thing?
Yes, you can.
I look at this place as God's kingdom, part of God's kingdom. And we all strive to get to God's kingdom. So I'm starting from here. So that's the reasons why all this happens, because it's for God.
Yes, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Ray. Thank you.
That reminds me of something that our friend Kevin says. Kev, for the kingdom, isn't it, mate? For the kingdom. I'm going to invite Kay and Imogen to come down. And they're going to read our Bible reading. Now, inside your newsletter, you've got a separate sheet there, and you'll see the Bible readings written there, so you can follow along. Thanks, Imogen. Thanks, Kay.
Hello, church family. How are you? We're reading the Bible this morning, and we're reading from Matthew chapter 13. Emmy's going to do verse 1 to 9, and then I'll follow it up with 18 to 23, and it's in your newsletter.
Later that same day, Jesus left the house and went down the shore where an immense crowd soon gathered. He got into a boat and taught from it while the people listened on the beach. He used many illustrations, such as one of his sermon. A farmer was sowing grain in his fields as he scattered the seed across the ground. Some fell beside a path, and the birds came and ate it, and some fell on rocky soil where there was little depths of earth. The plants sprang up quickly enough in the shallow soil, but the hot sun soon scorched them and they withered and died from, for they had so little root. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns choked out the tender blades, but some fell on good soil and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as he had planted. If you had ears, listen.
Now here is the explanation of the story that I told about the farmer planting grain. The hard path where some of the seeds fell represents the heart of a person who hears the good news about the kingdom and doesn't understand it. Then Satan comes and snatches away the seeds from his heart. The shallow, rocky soil represents the heart of a man who hears the message and receives it with real joy, but he doesn't have much depth in his life, and the seeds don't root very deeply. And after a while, when trouble comes or persecution begins because of his beliefs, his enthusiasm fades and he drops out. The ground covered with thistles represents a man who hears the message, but the cares of his life and his longing for money choke out God's word, and he does less and less for God. The good ground represents the heart of a man who listens to the message and understands it and goes out and brings 30, 60 or even 100 others into the kingdom. You say
amen. Amen. Lovely.
Thank you to Kay and to Imogen for reading that verse to us. Now this is a verse that I'm sure many of you are really familiar with. It's one of those Sunday school parables that we've been reading for many years. Tim, can you come back, please? Can you make it just a little bit lower for me and tilted? Maybe not. Oh, yeah, hooray. Make Karen taller. Stand on a box. Actually, I was thinking, you know, when we read that, they were by the water, weren't they? And here we are. And Imogen said the crowd was immense. It was so overcrowded and Jesus had to make a bit of a problem-solving solution there and then, so he hopped into a boat. So I was going to ask Ray, can you get me a boat? And I'll go out and I'll tell you today's sermon from inside a boat. A canoe? Actually, I don't, because I don't really like boats. And this crowd is lovely, but I wouldn't call you immense. Now, can you all hear me at the back there? All good? If you turn to the back of your Bible reading, you will see there a little outline. Now, if you don't know, in a former life, I was a teacher. But this is not a test. Jody, we said that before, didn't we? It's not a test. But if it is, it's out of 11, because there's 11 marks. So you can get one for free. We'll mark it out of 10. The test today is for you to let God examine your own heart. That's the only test. If you'd like to, and you've got a pencil there, and there are some at the desk, if you wanted to put your hand up if you'd like one to fill it in, you can fill it in as we go. And kids, you've got some other activities, but you can also fill this in as you go. You might like to draw a picture in the box. Or you might like to look around this beautiful place that we have and see if you can find all the types of soil. Although I did say to Ray, thanks, Ray, you've left me no weeds. Like when I get to the part about the thorny, the thorns and the weeds, where am I going to point that out? Oh, somewhere over there? All right, so you can look over there. But you might like to put a picture in your head, even if you don't draw one, of some of those things today as we go through. And I was going to say to you, Kay, you know what? The relationship we have with our kids here, with our junior soldiers who have a prayer pal, and with all of us is a seed-sowing relationship. We get to plant the seeds in all of these little people, and they're very precious to us. And no doubt you have other little people and not so little people. It's funny, I talked to some of you about your sons and daughters, and they're older than me. They're not little sons and daughters, and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And all of them give us that opportunity to speak God's word into their lives. And it's something we should not take lightly. It's a great opportunity for us. Now, we read on many occasions where Jesus teaches with parables. You think of other parables? Parables of the wise man building on the rock, the silk purse, the lost coin. There's a whole lot of parables. And Jesus gives these parables because they use a real, down-to-earth, everyday, relatable message. And so this one, I don't know if any of you are gardeners or you've been farmers or planters, but who has ever in their life planted a seed? Anybody? Has anybody never planted a seed? Oh, well, if you'd like to go over and join the children, there's some seeds there. You're welcome to plant one. But this kind of planting, when Jesus talks about it, he's talking about scattering. And this morning, Tim was listening to a message from Stephen Furtick, who was talking about the wind. And he had this great picture. He started talking about the parable of the sower, where he scattered the seed and the wind blew it wherever it would fall. So it wasn't a careless kind of, I'll just throw this seed wherever and see where it goes. It was a scattering to cover the whole area. Let's see if we can scatter this seed and see where it falls. Let it go everywhere. Now, have a look in the middle of your outline, and we've got three S's. They stand for something, something, and something. So what do they stand for? The sower, the soil, the seed. The sower, the seeds, and the soil. They're our three S's, and our most important thing about this story is the sower. The sower is Jesus while he's telling this story. He's actually sowing the seed from the boat as he's talking to the people sitting there in the immense crowd. He's sowing as he goes. But we too are the sowers, as I said, and as we grow in our spiritual lives, as our seed germinates and we start to grow, and we come to know the love of God, then we want to sow the seed in all of the fields of all the people around us. Now, the seed is the word of God. It's the truth. It's the answer. It's God's good news to us. And the soil, that's our hearts. The hearts of every man, every woman and child. And we have different types of soil, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's go around and we're going to fill in the top word of all of these soils. Anyone filling it in? Just entertain me and amuse me. Is anyone actually filling it in? Thank you. Oh, that's lovely. You can fill it in later if you like. Or you can just use it as something to entertain you while you're listening. So the first type of soil that we want to look at today is the path. If you have a look around you, you can see lots of paths. And I did see Gurney out here yesterday, hosing down all the, what shall I say, left behind presents from the birds. So you don't have to sit in all that today. Now, Tim and I like to go walking, and when we walk on the path. Sometimes, however, my lovely husband likes to go off the track and take us exploring through these wild bush passages where I'm scared of things touching me. The way you can tell the difference between the path and the not the path is there's nothing growing on the path. The path is the path because there's a lack of growth on it. And this path in the story, Jesus says the sower sows the seed, but it's got nowhere to go. It can't get its roots down and start growing because it's a hard path. There is no chance for it to grow there. And while it's there, the birds come in, steal the seed. They peck it up and they take it away. When the seed fell on the path, there was no chance of growing. It's like we say, oh, it's like speaking to a brick wall. It's like talking to deaf ears. Nothing happens. And Jesus does talk about, you who have ears, listen. He says it at the beginning of the parable. He says at the end of the parable as well. Listen to this. This is important. As the seed lay there on the path, the parable tells us the birds came along. They ate the seed. It didn't really get a chance to grow. The second soil on your list is the, what letter have you got there? R? What is it? We're going to say stony soil, but there's an R, so that is rocky. Not rocky the, we'll just wait. All right. The rocky soil. And the rocky soil had little depth. That's what Imogen read to us. The seed got in there somehow through a crack somewhere and it got down, but it started to take root, but it didn't get very far. It was quite shallow. So these fresh, young baby plants were trying their hardest to grow. Out came the sunshine and dried up all the rain. An incidency spider, and killed that young plant. It scorched it. It had no chance when it was being so attacked by the sun. Beautiful sunshine it is here today too. I'm glad it's gone behind the clouds for just a minute. It wasn't the right environment for them. Thirdly, the soil that was filled with thorns or with weeds, which Graham pointed out to us. You can look over there, a bit of an area, find some thorns. The seed took hold, it was trying, the plants sprang up, but they were choked out by all the weeds. They couldn't survive in that environment. And finally, in your fourth box, some seeds fell on the good soil. The soil was fertile, it was ready, the seed took its place, it began to grow. And not only did it grow, but we read that it produced a crop 30 times, 60, 100 times. So there we have our four soil types on our sheets, the path, the rocky soil, the thorns and the good soil. So let's look at the explanation and what Jesus says as he preaches to them from the boat there by the lake. The path. Now the fact that you're here today, and I presume you're here willingly, not here under duress, no one's dragged you along, maybe they have, I hope not, but the fact that you're here willingly says to me, that you're prepared to open your ears and listen. You want to hear God's word. At the bottom of the box there, we've got a C. And I'm going to call this soil, this hard path, clueless. If we're on that path and we can't grow, we're pretty much clueless. We don't even know that what we're after is a relationship with God. That seed hasn't got a chance to get down and grow. It's going to get snatched away, and we're, to some extent, clueless about it. We're totally ignorant about the fact that there is so much more. The seed that fell on that path meant nothing. The person who is like that path, and if our hearts are like that, and maybe you have been like that in the past, maybe you still are, and you're saying, no, this is all rubbish, it's for other people, it's not for me. It's a rejection of God and a rejection of God's word to grow in our life. Now today, if you do have that hard-hearted path, or you know of someone who's like that and you're praying for them, keep on praying. We want to pray that God will shatter that. I had the image of a jackhammer. You know, the jackhammer just breaking up that path so that it can have the soil underneath it and it can be a place where something can grow. Nothing is impossible to God. So if you constantly are sowing seed on a path and you think, oh, this is a waste of time, it is falling on deaf ears. It is like speaking to a brick wall. Don't forget that God is the miracle worker. Now, the rocky soil. The rocky soil's there. The seed does start to grow, but it is rootless. So the roots can't get down. They can get a little way and they can try their best, but the limited gardening that I've done, sometimes along the edge of the driveway where those little weeds come up, those little weeds can generally come out root and all because the root is not very well contained in there. And in this story as well, with the stony soil, it's rootless. It doesn't get down and get any good happening. And if the roots aren't down, how can it grow? Maybe you recognize yourself as being in that box. When we begin to accept Jesus' presence in our life, it's just the beginning. It's like being a young child who still drinks milk and needs a bigger diet. We need to get our roots down deeper. We need to be fed to learn, to grow up, and to be part of that growing in Jesus. Ephesians 4 says, God wants us to grow up, to know the whole truth and to tell it in love, to live like Christ in everything. And we take our lead from Christ, who is the source of everything that we do. He keeps us in step with each other. His very breath and blood flow through us, nourishing us, helping us to grow, so that we will grow up healthy in God and robust in love. The third box, we have the thorns. The thorns in the parable are the cares and the worries, the things that make us anxious in the world. Now, haven't the last few months been a source of cares and worries and anxiety and potentially something that can choke us in our growth? The word we want to put here is fruitless. So we have that relationship with God. We've planted our seed down. Our roots are going down, but we're not bearing any fruit. We're plants that are fruitless. Now, if you think of a plant that grows, and I've got some of these trees that just don't seem to get anywhere. If you're trying so hard to survive getting choked out by the weeds and the worries of our life, and all of those things are stressing you so much, where does the energy come from to put into producing that fruit? How can you make that happen? As Christians, we're instructed to cast all our cares upon Jesus because he cares for us. We give it to him and we ask the Holy Spirit to aid us in our everyday walk. If we can't cast aside all of the worry that the world brings, we will not see the fruit in our lives, and others won't see the fruit that we produce. So Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. I wonder if the kids are listening. Can you tell me some of the fruit of the Spirit? You had a fruit of the Spirit lesson over COVID time. You shout them out. Love. Oh, Levi's got the lot. Levi, can you run here in 2 seconds and tell me the lot? Because he's learnt them and he wants to tell me. Big, big voice. Ready? The fruit of the Spirit is?
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Fantastic. Good job, mate. That's the fruit that the Holy Spirit living in us produces. And people see that in our lives. If they don't see that, we are fruitless. So finally, the last box there is the good soil. We've written that down. And if we are in the good soil and growing, we are, what do you think, Avril? She's filling in. Fruitful. That was fruitless. This one, fruitful. We are growing. We're fruitful. And that is where we all want to be. We want to be in the good soil. We want to be living and fruitful and showing that fruit. When we share the word of God, that's what we hope for everyone, that the seeds will sink down deep into that soil and grow and be fruitful. Clueless, rootless, fruitless. They don't really appeal. But fruitful, that's what I want, and I hope that's what you want too. Now, how can we become this good soil? What fertilizer can we use? What can we use to make the environment change to make sure that we are good soil and that we're growing? Let's start with prayer. Pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. Pray in all circumstances. Prayer is an absolute gift. It's a personal privilege to be able to speak to God in prayer. And it begins with just calling on God. It's a two-way thing, though. Praying to God, listening to God. People. Spend time with people who will build you up, help you grow. Ask the people in your life to hold you accountable that are Christian people. When you have conversations, when Ray comes up with the guys and they talk about the plants, and they talk about the weather, deepen those conversations. They have conversations about God and faith. So I challenge you, when you're having those conversations with each other, ask, how is your walk with God going? How are you growing? How's that fruit? In the book of Romans, chapter 14, and again in chapter 15, also in the book of Jude, we read that we must build one another up. That's what we want to do. The other thing to make our soil right and ready is reading our Bible. Maybe you read a regular Bible plan, you've got a book, or you do something online, or you just pick up your Bible and open it and read it. Read with another friend. Gather together. Now we can gather. There's no fear in gathering together in a small group. Read with someone else. Talk about what you read and apply it. And as the sower, what can you do as you're planting seeds to your children, to your family, your neighbours and all of those around you? How about showing the love of God, speaking the love of God, proclaiming our mighty Saviour and how great He is in our words as well as our actions? To be the voice of reason and the calm assurance in times where people have been worried, people are doubting, they're losing hope, we need to be the people that remind others that God is in control, that He's got this and He's in charge. And challenge your own thinking. Where do you put your trust? Do you have trust in God? Do you rely on Jesus as the number one in your life? In the 1970s, a Christian artist, Keith Green, wrote the words to a song. And as this was in my head for the last few weeks, and as I contemplated using that for today, it just was singing over and over and over and over in my head. Not the only one, hey, Seth. Seth heard it the other day, we were practicing, it's been running through his head. The song is, there is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Jesus, God's Son. He is our Redeemer. He is the Christ. He is the one that we need to be planted in. We can have hope and trust in Jesus, our Redeemer. We should do that, and we should encourage others. I hope that you do today. And just remind yourself as we sing this song, I invite you to join us. The words are on that page. We're not going to have a time when we can ask people to come. That's one of the restrictions on our COVID. Then we're not going to sit with people and pray with them. However, if you want to talk to someone, tell them what's been happening for you. Ask them to pray for you. Please do that as we finish today and as we leave. Ring someone up, have a conversation. Hasn't it been great to be talking to people on the phone and texting people during this time? I encourage you to do that and speak to someone. But right now, I'd like to ask you to join with us, and we're going to sing this song, There is a Redeemer.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, thank you.
Let's stand and sing the first verse again, a cappella.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One.
To be like Jesus, this hope possesses me in every thought and deed. This is my creed. To be like Jesus, His Spirit helping me. Like Him I'll be. Then I'll sing it another way before we have it again. Jesus, and as you go and face the confusion, the allurements of the world and the systems of today, help us, Lord, to separate the precious from the worthless, that we may be your worthy disciple and be like Jesus. Amen. Bless you all.